morning. We'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your day here now that you've given to us. We praise you for allowing us to have a day that's set aside where we worship you. Thank you for that. Thank you for just all things you teach us and show us how that you worked and then you rested. And that's the same thing you want us to do, Lord. And that's what this day is set aside here, Father, where we worship you. And may we give our bodies a little rest today, so we just hold this before you this day. We thank you, Father, for it. We know we need your help here today, Father. We need your spirit just to take full control. We need you to teach us the things that we need to be taught and just enlighten us through your word here today, Father. Let your spirit will just enlighten us. Give us the guidance and direction that we need. We thank you and praise you for it. All in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A 15-year-old said, "I believe you should live each day as if it were your last, which is why I don't have any clean laundry. Because, come on, who wants to wash clothes on the last days of their life?" That's a 15-year-old. Think of that, buddy. He's got it down there pretty pat. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. "And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah 17:9. We're going over the children here and the child's development and some of the different aspects of it. We went through a little bit. We've been going through the structures of the family here, and just as I had showed you last week at the last there when we closed up, how I give you that example of this girl who was raised by her parents that was only the one. She was only one child that was in the family at all, but they spoiled her, I believe, just because of some of the things that they did. They met her needs and her wants, and they had them as a priority for her. And she now is married, and she feels that her husband ought to do the same thing to her. And you see, that's what happens when you raise children. You know, you got to watch what you're doing there, because they're going to want their mate, they expect their mate to do these things like their parents did for them and brought them up. So we've seen some structures there of it. Now we're going to get into, there's six different things that we're going to go over. And the first one is family values. What do you think family values are, and can you give me some examples? Right.
Well, generally, it would be what's most important to the leadership of the family, how they're going to live their lives and how they expect their kids to live their lives. That would be their values. Now, if they're living a biblical life, then their values are going to come into play.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Very good. Go ahead. That's what it is. It's two different things.
Yes.
Exactly. Either you're going to follow the world or you're going to follow the Bible. You know, if you're a Christian, you should be following the Bible. You know, just to think about it. Go ahead. Example.
Responsibility, diligence.
Honesty.
Respect.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Ron.
I think definitely the father, the husband, needs to be the leader in that family, but he needs to be just more than a leader. He needs to be the spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a lot of times you see families where the wife has to be the spiritual leader and even just a general leader in the family, because it seems like in this day and age, there aren't many men out there, and, you know, that take on this role.
That's right. Well, just, I mean, think about your government. You know, the responsibilities of our government. And it'd be nice to have a president in there that could stand on his own two feet and instead of it, expecting somebody else to give him a word, you know, what to say and things like that there. Stand up for what's right once, you know. And I mean, you have all these different things, Corb.
See?
Okay. You're not ever going to have a family value.
That's right. And that is one of your family values. First of all, you teach your kids it's between a husband and a wife. Do you get that? It's a husband and a wife. And then it's the husband's and wife responsibility. And that's another one, having unity in the family. The devil hates unity. He hates unity in the church. He hates unity in the family. And he'll try to tear it up the best way he possibly can. And family values is, you know, getting that unity in your family, you know. So there, you give two good ones right there. Exactly. Right. You just be careful when you and your wife have, you know, disagreements. If you can, try to disagree someplace where the kids aren't around. You're going to have disagreements. Don't get me wrong. You're going to have them. You know, you're both different. You're going to have them. But try not to have them around the kids so that they don't see it. And like she said there, they're going to follow just right after what you do, you know. Ron.
Just following up what Natalie said, if you don't do that, if you don't take your disagreements to the side, the kids are sharp. They will work you one against the other.
They know how to do it, too. And that's something that they pick up. They pick that up very easy, very simple, that they do that.
And they'll
aim
for the
crack.
Sure. Oh, yeah. As soon as they get older, they know when dad and mom
aren't quite eye-to-eye.
They want to do it or something.
And they, too, we've talked about it before, but they, too, will work one or the other. Hey, Mom, can I do? No. Hey, Dad. Yeah, go ahead. Now, whoa. Now, who are they going to come to now the next time? Hey, Dad, can I do, you know, or hey, Mom, you know, that's they're good at working it. You know, they can do that. They will do that.
And they even know which one to come to in each situation. Because Mom may be more lenient in this area than Dad in some things. Dad may be more lenient in this area than Mom. And they come to the one that's more lenient every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's not the same one every time.
No.
That's why I find myself asking them, what did your dad say? Or have you asked your dad? That way it keeps me from disagreeing with Chad in an area that I have no idea what he may have said or what, you know, what he thinks on something. If I'm kind of hesitant one way or the other, then I'm always like, go ask your dad or what is your dad?
Yeah, that happens too. You got to watch, you know. If they say, you know, if Mom says, go ask your dad, and then Dad says, go ask your mother, you know, you're causing a conflict there. So be careful in that too, you know. Family values are something that's very important, you know, in raising children, and especially, you know, Christian family values. You named some of you named some already. Can you think of any others? Well, what do you really want to teach your family? Good. Anything else? I wrote 10 down here. And I got the Bible to back it up, too. So, but that, you know, all you, everything that you guys said here, you can back that up with Bible. There's definite, you know, wrong.
Respect and concern for others.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Honesty, right? You've gotten some of mine already. Right. One of your questions, since you're bringing some of these up, one of your questions that you guys had put down: how do you teach them to put themselves and their desires last, and to look to help others? You older people. Anybody else? That's why I'm giving you these questions, you ones that have already raised your children, to help these ones out. Go ahead, Van. Say it.
I think most all people enjoy praise in some form or fashion. So when a child does something which might blow your mind and surprise you, and they do something to someone else, and they get some praise or acknowledgement for that, then that helps to build their esteem to realize that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this means something to my mother, my father, or someone else. And they want to please. Children want to please, I think, within themselves, and they want to be praised. When that time comes also.
Well, definitely. Yeah, that's something that a lot of parents forget about doing, is praising their kids when they do something good. They just, you know, well, they just expect them to do it and that's it. They don't praise them.
Even the one with the worst track record in things, really responds to that.
Oh yeah, that's the one you really want to praise if they do the right things that you want them to do. That has the worst track record, you know. That helps them out. They're seeing that, oh well, I'm not getting in trouble all the time here for this. I'm getting praised for doing this something good instead of something bad all the time. You know, it does help them out. Okay, let's go over some of the ones here that I have, and you hit them, but like I say, I have a Bible to stand behind them. The first one that I have for family values that if you know that I believe that you should be teaching is worship only God. There's so many gods out here today. There's so many religions out here today, you know, that are false and everything else. And the world, that's what the world's teaching today, you know, these different philosophies or whatever. Mark 12:28-30. If you want to turn there, if not, just listen as I read. It says, Mark 12:28, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" Where did you hear that before? In our past lessons.
Deuteronomy 6.
Exactly. Deuteronomy 6. Almost same identical words that they were told to teach their children from generation to generation to generation, you see. So worship God only was my first family value. I was having problems with this here, and I just started checking some things around and stuff, you know, and it all makes kind of makes more sense now. But anyhow, number one was worship God only. The second one was respect all people. You know, you want to teach your kids to respect people. You know, Mark 12, the same place where we're at here, in verse 31, he says, after the first commandment, he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. It's commandments that you're to teach them. Ben.
Sometimes it's hard to what to communicate. Like maybe it's because I don't sometimes understand. I don't really know what to think. You know, with all the stuff in politics and the wrong things that are going on, to still respect the president or still respect or someone you don't think is doing right, to still have respect for all people, yet don't know what they do, and somehow communicate that we do need a love for all people, we don't know what they do, and to put that in an 8-year-old's mind, you know, but Jesus said, love your enemies, and there's a lot. You know, and so, you know, and I even see it on the job, you know, when talking to people, you know, you work for people, there's such a divide in our nation that it comes down to the moral issues and the Bible issues, not just the political realm. It comes down to what's right and what's wrong, period.
Well, see, there's something that you just said there that I think that you could teach your children, you know. It's that they need the Lord. You follow that? They need the Lord. You have to teach them that respect, you know. Listen, they're doing this, which is something that we don't do, but they need the Lord. And once they have the Lord in their heart, they would do this, you know, with the teachings and stuff of it.
Show your kids, I don't know that it's right that we're even around him because he is
I'm so sorry. Happens again. Oh, I'm so sorry. Happens again. What do you do? What? Because I love him to pieces, but I can't be participating in helping him do these things. What? How do you handle that?
Do you want to hit that, Roland?
Well, I lived through a situation like that with my younger son for several years. And it's not easy, but if you love him, you can't condone what he's doing. You can't be part of what he's doing. And you need to tell him. You've got to change like you say you're going to do, or I'm going to have to do what the law requires me to do. And that would be if he's breaking probation and he's asking you to be a part of it, then you can't let him do it. You can't let him break the probation. And unfortunately with my son, my first wife, we had great disagreements over that. But there, I can tell you dozens of stories. But I wanted him locked up because he was in my face with some of this stuff. And I told him, I said, you're bringing this into our house. You're making me part of what you're doing wrong. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And at one point in time, one of the incidents, I told him, I said, you've got 20 minutes to call the police officer up that just brought you to this house. And you take care of it with her. I don't care what you tell her. I don't care what you do. But if you don't, I will. And you're going to have to deal with the consequences. Because I'm not letting you bring your law breaking into my house and make me part of it. And that's how strong I felt about that at that point. Because I got to protect the rest of my family. And you have your kids that are watching what's going on, and you have to show them that, you know, it's your brother, it's just my son, but they're not doing right. Then that's the way I felt. I couldn't go along with it. You know, if he's going to continue to break probation, then I think you have a duty to at least put it to his face. You continue to do this, and you're going to force me to do something that I don't want to do because I won't let you continue to do this in my family. I'm going to turn you in. That's hard, but that's the only answer I see. Otherwise, you're being complicit with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. My brother's boy's in jail, and he was supposed to get out on the 38th. He knows my brother's boy. And anyhow, he got put in jail on the 17th because he got caught with DUI. He was driving without his license, and somebody was good enough to tell him if he didn't quit driving, they were going to report it. Well, he did quit driving. But here's the thing. He was raised better than I was, I'll put it that way. He was raised to know God, and he was raised in a church, and he just went astray. And he drank up until the day he went to jail. I don't know how he got away with this. I can't understand that. Because then he's in jail now. He cannot go out on work release because his wife put a PSA order against him, which nobody knows. The ones that do know, they're not tell. They got restrictions from the judge. They dare not tell why this PSA order is against him. That's why he can't go out on work release. He can't even go out in the yard at the jail with them. He's going to be in that jail for 90 days and not see the outside. And they work with, he doesn't even talk to his children on the phone. They have him blocked. which I think is very wrong. I don't understand how you can bring these two little children in this, and they love their dad very much. So they need a lot of prayer. Will it change him? I have no idea. His mom and dad's been working to change. You can talk to him and you can talk to him. He will not listen.
Ma'am.
Question is, what is really showing love? Is showing love helping to aid them to do that? to possibly cause her some bad feelings by not going with or going along with what they're doing. I know, you know, as a family, at one point, my son rebelled. And, you know, we had to just say, you know, you're on your own, boy. And I did break down and drove him to the bus station, but that was it. You know, I originally would make him walk from Center Hall and the State College to the bus station. I did break down and take him to the bus station, but it's one of those things where it's very difficult for us to do what's right at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lisa.
I have a lot of experience with addiction. And unfortunately, in being addicted here, et cetera, is an addiction as much as drugs are an addiction. And I think, you know, not everybody is out for a Yahoo party time. Sometimes they're locked in a vicious grip and a vicious hold of addiction. And they're not necessarily happy at the end of the day. It's not an easy sin to conquer. Satan has a real good hold on you when you're an addict. It's a lot different than other sins. It's a sin. It's not a sickness. It's a sin, but it can really get a hold on you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a firm believer in tough love and not enabling the addict. And my husband died of drug overdose while we were separated with a needle hanging out of his arm in front of my two older children. I know all about addiction and the pain that it can bring. I myself have been addicted. Just, it's a battle every day. It doesn't go away. So with that in mind, try to love that addicted person, because, you know, it's just because they're standing there with a six pack in their hand doesn't mean they're happy or they want the party to get started. You know, there's a lot of inner struggle that is just, it's tough, it's really tough. So, I mean, I do think there's people out there that are, you know, wahoo, it's just a big party, but there's people that really struggle and can't pull themselves out of that vacuum, that pit that just keeps sucking them back in. So with that in mind, you know, there's also the flip side of the coin.
I think Nate did the right thing there, you know, when you said that he told him, you're not bringing this in my vehicle, and that's the smart thing to do. I used to go to, we had a prison ministry at a certain church that I went to, and I went with them to it. And we'd go there, and we would preach to the guys. They would come out, and we would preach to them. And there, I can think of one in particular. There was more than one, but there was one in particular. When I get out of here, I'm not doing this again, he said. So the next week we go, he says, I'm getting out of here Monday. I said, okay, good. Now, are you going to do what you did before? No, I'm not going through this. We went back the next week, and guess what? There he was, in there, did the same identical thing that he did to get in there before that he didn't want to get. So, you know, what goes through some people's minds, I don't know, but just like she's saying there about addiction and stuff, maybe he is addicted, and you can help by maybe trying to find someone, you know, that he could go to help him with the addiction. I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's just something. And another thing, I mean, some of the things there that Ron was saying, you know, I agree with him, you know, on some of them things. It comes to a point where you say, okay, and just same as Van, you're on your own, you know. And we've tried to help you. You don't want no help until you want help. You know, I'm not going to let you down. I'll help you, you know. But if you don't want help, you're on your own.
My wife's Uncle Ronnie has been a drunkard for years and years. All her uncles are. And but the one of them
state. And that man had to go through a real dry out session under the preaching of God's word. He went, I mean, this guy got saved. He's not had liquor. His wife sells liquor. That's what she does. She goes around and sells liquor. And but the guy made a complete turn, and he's not fallen, but it's still struggle. And it's not something that it's something that Christ will empower you to get rid of. But it's not like that, and I don't have it. I don't even feel like doing it anymore. That's not the story. It's a minute by minute, hour by hour. And the gospel has the power to save a person out of liquor and addiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm a firm believer on that too. You know, there's people that has changed at the snap of your finger because of it.
Yes.
You know, other people it takes them a while, but you know, there's some people that just, man, that's it. You know, I was an alcoholic and stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Just maybe to help answer their question, before, I think we go off on the addiction thing. He may be addicted, but I don't know if that's the problem right now. I think that you and Nate need to talk out with each other how far we're going to go. Then communicate with him that. Basically talk to him and say, okay, we're willing, we love you, and we're going to do anything we can for you, but there's consequences. And if you cross this line, then we're going back away. And whenever you decide to come back forward, we're there to help you. We're going to be right there for you. But you have to have you have to take care of your family, as Ron said. You have to draw a line somewhere with that help. But the main thing is communicate to him, you know, what those consequences are, you know, so he knows. Because some people have a habit of, well, we're just not going to, you know, be around him. I don't want my kids around him or anything like that. And they don't know, you know, that why you're doing it. He needs to know why you're doing it and then, you know, take it from there. But you guys need to establish the line that you'll go to.
Well, I'd write those things down almost as a contract. Brother, we love you. This is what we're willing to do for you. But when you break this contract, we have to pull our hands back. Because I know he's pushed the envelope before, you know, in different situations. But keep in mind also, he came across that he wanted to get my car one time, and he did not take the ride. And so he's at least come a step closer. So,
and maybe this is just because I'm a woman. He knows how to play me more.
Yeah.
Because when he got in, he's like, you know, he could tell. I was very upset because I really thought he was changing this time again. And right away, he's like, hey, I'm cleaning up this apartment. There's all this food. Do you want it? He's trying to, you know what I mean? And before that worked, you know, where I think, okay. And you know, I struggle with that. You know, we all do. You know, you can play whatever you want.
But if you have something written down, you have something to say
to go by.
This is the line where I drew it.
Right.
You know, he's trying to fuzzy the line.
Jesus had his saying on all this here that we're talking about here, you know, with respect for people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And Luke 6:31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, you need to treat people, you know, the way that you want to be treated, that's the way that you need to treat people. In other words, is what he's saying there, you know. And just like you're being told there, and that is a good idea, you know. Have something, you know, have things down that say, here's where you will break the line. And say, okay, now you break it, I'm sorry, you know, We'll be there for you later on if you need help. But until you come back to that, you know, that's just the way it is. I understand, you know, I see what you're talking about there, you know, with, like I said, with me going to, and if I would have never really would have thought about it, but when I went to those there times there with the those kind of men and people like that there, you know, you can just tell. Some people want to change, but other people don't want to change, you know. But sometimes it takes you drawing the line with them for them to decide, well, either I'm going to go this way or that way, you know. Bunny's brother, they thought that he, you know, they went and got him. He was in his truck, living out of his truck. That's when you found him, right? Found him living in his truck. And they brought him home here, helped him out, gave him a place to stay, helped him to get his eyes so that he could see, because he couldn't see right and stuff, so he'd get his driver's license back and stuff, that he could go, he wanted to drive truck and stuff. And he did. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. They have no idea where he's at. He could be living out of his pickup again or something like that. They just don't know. They've tried to contact with him. Some people want to change. Some people don't want to change.
I think there's a root, though. There's always a root, you know.
There's a reasoning for it, but, you know, to find out that reasoning, sometimes you just, you know, you try your best to try to get it, and you just can't get it, you know. I'm dealing with a guy right now at work that, you know, that he loves drinking. This is his big thing, and I keep telling him that it's wrong. But then he gets into the, when he starts drinking with the beer, then he gets into the hard stuff. Then he comes and he moans around to me about his insides, they're getting tore up. I said, just keep it up. I said, just go ahead, keep it up. And I said, you're going to pay the consequences for it. And I took notice that he laid off for a little bit about it because he was feeling terrible. But he's back into it again, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's such a struggle for them. Mm-hmm. It's just hard.
Yep.
I can tell you, drinking is terrible. You know, it has to hold on. I was one of those things. And I'll tell you, for years I drank and drank, and I had children, and I put them in babysitter. There was a lot of stuff behind it because of the serious we didn't have. I went drinking because I didn't have to pay for it. And I was with friends that would buy the beer. So you got to look at everything. But again, I didn't go to church. I wasn't brought up in a church. My parents didn't go. We were brought up very badly. And we had no, and I don't mean to put my parents down, but they were both fully retarded, which you can't use that word today. You're supposed to say, I forget the word they used, but we found that you're not supposed to use retarded. But my mom and dad were retarded. They had no idea how to raise us kids, but they kept six of us together. And there, I can say when I was home, I never went hungry. When I got married, I had a husband that drank. He wouldn't go to work. He'd go drinking. We didn't have no food. And a lot of times, put my kids with babysitters and going with these people to drink, at least my kids were getting fed. So you got to look at a lot of different things. And I watched, when I made up my mind, I went to the tannery and I worked there 5 years. And I made up my mind I was never going to slip back where I did. But I did. I did slip back. I quit drinking for a while and I slipped right back in over friends until one night my husband came and we were driving home. We both could have wrecked and been killed because I had no idea. And I called my husband off work the next day. This is how foolish it is. And I called him off, and he was already at work. Now, you tell me what goes on here. And then it did stop us from drinking. Did I ever take a beer after that? Yes, I did, but I never went to the drink. And I said, and today, I'm scared to death to even taste it. I'm just afraid of it. Put your back. It has a hold on. that I know in God, in God's eyes, when I learned to know God and pray to Him, I know that He was part of that that stopped
us. See, we're talking about family values here. I hope you're picking up on some of this stuff that they're just saying here, you know, and stuff. Because they're hanging around with the wrong crowd. You know, what are you going to teach your children? You know, we're talking about family values, you know, stuff that you can put in your mind here, you know, with family values, you know, of teaching your children different things. Sometimes, yeah, no, I know, and I know what you're thinking about here, and I'm thinking about something the same way, you know. I probably told you this already, but my younger son and I always batted heads, and it got to the point where I told him, I said, "You're living under my roof. These are my rules and regulations. If you don't like it, hit the road. I'm not telling you to do that." I'm just saying that this was something that worked for me just one time. And he knew I meant it. He knew everything that I said about it. I was fed up with it. I was sick and tired of it. I wasn't going to put up with it no more. I did all kinds of different disciplines and stuff like that. I took things from him and just all kinds of stuff. But the disrespect, what you're talking about there, I had it. After that dare incident, he came to me and apologized, and it was just like something completely turned around. Now, I'm not saying that's going to work. You know, that was just something that I'm just giving you an idea of something that happened to me that worked for me. Why? I don't know. What went through his mind or anything like that, I can't tell you. You know, I'm not. But like I say, I'm not saying that's something that worked. But, you know, There's different things that you have to do, you know, when you have a disrespectful child that you have to try. And sometimes, I mean, just like that dare, I think that he knew, whoa, I'm not going to have a warm bed to sleep in anymore, you know. I don't know what he was thinking. I'm just saying some of these things, you know. Mom's cooking, you know. I'm going to have to cook for myself, or I'm going to have to eat out of garbage cans or whatever. I don't know. You know, like I say, I don't know what was going through his mind. But after that, it was a complete turnaround. We got to stop there. We'll pick it up next time on these family values, and we'll continue here. I have seven more to go over. So, good questions, good answers, you know, like I say, I hope you pick up on some of this stuff that we're talking about. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the day. We thank you for just everything about it. We just ask now that you would just teach us the different things here that we need to know, how we can help people out. Father, we have some here that we have one that has a brother here, Lord, that needs help. And we just ask that you would just help them to make the right decisions to try to help him out so that he can turn his life around and, most of all, give it to you, Lord. That's the main thing, is giving their lives to you. Your word, your spirit, you're the one that changes us completely. And so we just ask that you would just do that for them. Guide us throughout this day now. Help us to have a good service, a next service here, Lord. And then the preaching of your word as it goes forth, Lord, that your spirit would enlighten us through it too, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.